Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our special guest today is Emily Steinway from Wisconsin Food Forest. This is going to be a very interesting topic I think you're all going to enjoy. Emily's joined us here at the studio to tell us all about what she's doing and how the Wisconsin Food Forest works. Emily, welcome to Around Town.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And let's tell the folks out there, what is Wisconsin Food Forest?
We're a nonprofit organization, and we plant food forests, which are mostly edible plants and also some native plants. And we plant mostly for other nonprofit organizations or for schools or on public land so that anybody can access the food.
That's really kind of neat. So you're doing planting all over the place, and there's no charge for that.
That's right.
And how is that monitored then?
So we work with other organizations, so they need to contact us because they do need to do some sort of investment in the food forest, usually with time. It does require some watering the first couple of years while the plants are getting established. And then we usually have volunteers that help with the planting, and so wherever we plant, that organization usually contributes some volunteers, and then we'll help them with maintenance going forward. But once the plants are established, the organization can usually reduce the maintenance because we're mostly planting perennials.
So can you tell the folks how this all came about?
Sure. So I started out planting fruit trees as a hobby. I really enjoy eating fruit, and so I started planting fruit trees.
That's kind of a neat way to get started.
Yeah, and that's the main component of our food forests, our fruit trees. And then I found my friend Erin, and she was really into sustainable agriculture and gardening, and it was her idea to start Wisconsin Food Forests. So we started in 2019, and we planted one food forest that year. And then in 2020, we planted three. In 2021, we took a year off. And then last year, we planted four different ones.
And where are you planting all these forests, Emily?
Mostly in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And they're not large scale. Most of them are in an urban environment, so less than an acre in size. One of them is at a farm sanctuary in Endeavor, Wisconsin. There's a couple at nonprofits in the Madison area, a couple at churches, and then there's one on city-owned land. So the city of Madison has a program, the edible landscape permit process, that you can go through in order to plant on city land. They don't usually let people plant on park land. They're very protective of their parks. Mm-hmm. But the water utility and the city engineering have both let us plant on their property.
Could you give us an idea of the variety of plants that you're putting in?
Sure. So the fruit trees that we mainly plant are peach, pear, tart cherry. We've also experimented with pawpaw and American persimmon, which are both native, but a lot of people may not have heard of them. And then we plant a lot of berry bushes, so gooseberries, currants, raspberries, blackberries, Nanking cherry, all sorts of different berry bushes. Sometimes we'll plant hazelnuts if there's not too many squirrels and chipmunks
okay.
in the area.
Well, that's always a problem.
We'll also do asparagus and rhubarb. So we're basically mimicking the layers of the forest. So you have your larger trees, and then you have smaller trees and shrubs. Then you have shorter plants, your herbaceous plants. We also plant for pollinators. So we'll do bee balm and yarrow and echinacea that aren't necessarily edible, but they're good for the pollinators.
This is an awesome idea. How did you get started with this?
I got into permaculture. So that was about 10 years or so ago. And permaculture is a whole other, more complex than just planting, but it's kind of a sustainable gardening is one way to describe it, but there's many other aspects of permaculture as well. And then I started reading books, and I started learning that when you plant fruit trees, they actually do better if you plant them in a community with other plants. And that's kind of what a food forest is. So when you mimic nature, you can actually grow more plants in a more sustainable way because nature knows what what she's doing, right? So when you plant the fruit tree, you don't have bare ground underneath it. You plant some chives over here and you plant some yarrow over here. And then you're enriching the soil when the leaves drop from those plants. You're providing habitat for the pollinators. You're also increasing your yield because you can have more plants in a smaller area.
That's really very interesting. I don't think people even thought about that when you have a fruit tree to plant other types of things, you know, beneath it and around it, whatever. It's kind of like a little family and friends, right?
Yes. Yeah. Some people will call it a fruit tree guild. And if you do a web search for fruit tree guild, you'll have results that will come up with suggestions of what plants you can put under your fruit trees.
So a program like this, we're talking now, we're in McHenry County.
Mm-hmm.
To get something started like this in McHenry County, which I'm sure is probably a lot of areas that can use this technique.
Yeah.
How do you get that going?
So you only need really three or four people that are committed to each site. That's all it takes to organize and get started. For planting on city land, there's a lot of meetings that you have to go to usually. So starting more than 10 years ago, there was an advocacy or organization called Madison Fruits and Nuts that actually got the permission from the city to plant the edible landscaping. So that would be a whole long process. But if you knew somebody at a church and the church had a sunny, open lawn, that's going to be the easiest place to put in a food forest. And all you would need is a water source and some volunteers. The plants are usually pretty low cost because we're buying them bare root. So they're pretty small and they don't come with the soil on them, so they're cheaper. And then you need some fences to protect them from rabbits and voles while they're little. It's easier if you do it in an urban environment because then you don't have to contend with deer in a lot of cases.
Sure.
But if you do contend with deer, then there'll be more cost for fencing. And then the most important thing is you need a water source. When the plants are small, they need to be watered usually once a week if it doesn't rain more than an inch in 24 hours, the first growing season. And then after that, they don't really need as much watering because most of them are perennials, and so they'll be putting their roots deep in the ground and they'll be able to get enough moisture from rainfall.
So the folks here in McHenry County, if they had questions on how to get started, what to do, would they go to your website? And what would be the website they go to?
It's wisconsinfoodforest.com, and all of the plants that we recommend for Wisconsin would grow here in McHenry County. It's a similar growing zone. Both areas used to have oak savanna as the primary ecosystem, which is a forest. And so if you plant pawpaws here, they'll grow fine, and that's one of the plants that we recommend.
I just bet you've got a super garden, don't you?
Well, I also have my own business doing edible landscaping. So my yard is kind of neglected because I'm always planting in other people's yards.
So if someone in McHenry County calls you, would you assist and help them out?
Sure, yeah, because I grew up here. And
oh, you did?
I grew up in Woodstock.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so I would love to help in McHenry County. You know, we could do some consultations, and they could definitely check out our website and then see if they had any questions. I would love to help people get some food forests started.
That's awesome.
Here.
Yeah. You know, and fresh food, I mean, your fruits and vegetables, it's really great because there's nothing like, you know, the tomato off the vine.
Right.
As opposed to a supermarket where it's been shipped from wherever,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But the fruit trees, I know you have a lot of fruit trees out in Pennsylvania, and you have a lot of them in Michigan.
Yep.
But I don't think in this area I've seen that many pear.
Yeah, right. They're pretty easy to grow. There's European pear and Asian pear. The issue is that they get quite large and they can take up to 8 years to produce fruit. So with people moving a lot, it's hard to have a pear tree and then have it be established in time for you to harvest.
Well, I know that some friends of mine have orchards out in Pennsylvania. They've gone to a new tree. It's a short tree. It's only about 4 or 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And it produces within 2 years.
Okay.
It's a new hybrid tree that's
so probably
become popular.
Probably on a dwarfing rootstock, I'm guessing.
Correct.
Yeah.
So for the average person, just to have an apple tree, I mean, do you have to worry about spraying and things like that, or just let nature take its course?
So for apple trees, they do require spraying. That's why we usually don't plant apple trees. We've found that they have a lot of pests and diseases. I also work at a local apple orchard in the fall, so I've learned a lot about how much work it is to grow apple trees, either organically or without spraying. You're going to have bugs if you're not spraying.
And how about your peach trees?
The peach trees, they can grow. So the peach trees will only live about 10 to maybe 15 years, but you can harvest peaches.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, you think about our climate, and, you know, how are they sustainable in the wintertime, the peach trees?
I select certain varieties that are more cold hardy. So Contender is my favorite, and then there's a new one called PF24C is the variety name. There's also Reliance.
And we all knew about PF24C, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's a newer one.
I have a friend that has a large orchard in Poinette, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And he's got about 35 different varieties of apples.
Nice.
And last year was a really good year. The year before was a bad year. And it depends on, you know, if there's a frost with the buds and you have problems like that.
Yep.
But in McHenry County here, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would take advantage of, you know, putting a garden in an area, mm-hmm. Whether it be a church lot or whatever it may be, to get some fresh vegetables and have things of their own besides what you get at the store.
Yeah.
So this way, in contacting you through your website,
that
would be the best way.
Yeah.
Tell me your 10 top reasons to plant a food forest.
Sure. I want to mention one more thing with the food forest. So not only is it providing food, but it's also growing community. So we have a lot of people that are going to our Lansing food forest in Madison because it used to be just an empty lot where nobody really used it very much. In addition to the food forest, we also put in some benches so people can sit. We put in some stumps as like a natural playground so the kids can come and climb on the stumps and then go pick some strawberries out of the food forest. There's a little free library there. And so now it's become kind of a community gathering place where people just come and hang out with their neighbors. So a food forest is not just about the food.
It sounds like it. It sure sounds like it. Just remind everybody, we're listening to Emily Steinway here from the Wisconsin Food Forest organization. And this is 101.5 FM, your local community radio station. And Emily's told us all about what a food forest is and how you can have your own food forest. So, Emily, those 10 top reasons.
Sure. Number one, a forest is one of Earth's most stable ecosystems. And if we can imitate this ecosystem with edible species, we get all of the ecological benefits of a forest plus food. So there are a lot of native plants that you can grow that produce food. We're just trying to pick plants that will produce more food and food that people are more accustomed to eating.
And what types of plants would those be, Emily?
So the native plants that would generally be around here would be the oak and the hickory trees in the savanna ecosystem with the understory of hazelnuts and juneberries. They're also called service berries. In the wetland areas, there would be elderberries and viburnums growing. So those are just a few.
They like to get their feet wet.
Yes.
Okay. And how about perennial gardens?
Yeah. So number two, perennial gardens don't disturb the soil regularly like annual gardens do. Rather, they continually enrich the soil with organic matter as the leaves fall and the plants die back for the winter. So when we plant the food forest, it's mostly perennial plants, so they're going to be there for a very long time. So we plant them pretty far apart so that they can eventually grow together but not be crowded. And so while the food forest is young, we've been planting annual plants in between. Like in between the pear trees, we've grown zucchini or pumpkins or tomatoes for the first few years because there's plenty of space.
Between the pear trees.
Yeah, because there's plenty of space for the first few years. We've also been growing edible flowers in the sunny spots. So things like borage and nasturtium so that people can come by and eat a flower. And we're not using any pesticides. We're doing it no spray so that it's safe to come and eat. And then herbs as well. We use herbs as kind of like a ground cover, help keep the weeds out and They also are available for harvesting for people, and some herbs have flowers that the pollinators like as well.
So are the herbs spreading to smother the weeds?
Yes, a little, yeah. We're mostly, the best ground covers we've had are strawberries, because they spread a lot, and then Dutch white clover, which is not edible, but it makes a great ground cover, and it also fixes nitrogen, so it helps enrich the soil.
Well, that's really neat. And how about your next item?
The food forest model can help to restore land biodiversity and habitat while creating an edible yield. So not only are we providing food for people, but we're also providing food for wildlife. There's definitely going to be birds coming in and eating your berries. Sometimes they eat all the berries.
Right, especially spring and fall.
Yeah, but it depends on where your food forest is located and how many hungry birds you have in your area.
Now, what you refer to understory plants.
Yeah, so those are the shorter plants that are growing around and underneath your trees and shrubs. Like violets would be one example of a native understory plant that's also edible. Once your trees are larger and creating more shade, you could try planting ferns. Ostrich fern has an edible frond. And then there's also ramps, which is a kind of wild garlic or wild onion, also edible. So you can experiment with growing those after your trees are casting more shade.
Wow. And then, of course, the pollinators, that's most important,
yes,
too.
Yes. When you have fruit trees, you need pollinators so that you can have the fruit. So we'll have usually some perennial native plants native to the prairie habitat.
And what do you consider a beneficial insect?
The ones that are going to be pollinating your fruit trees. So mostly it's going to be bees. There's many different species of native bees that can pollinate. You don't need honeybees. You can just plant for the pollinators and you'll get native bees will be attracted to your garden, especially if you're not using any pesticides.
Okay, and how about the next item, number six?
Sure. Number four? I think we're on number four.
Four, well, that's the understory plants.
Oh, yeah. Understory plants.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. You skipped ahead.
Yep.
Okay. So number six, with their biodiversity, food forests are less likely to attract pests. So a food forest is not a monocultural planting. It's a planting of many different kinds of plants. And so if you don't have it all being apples, for example, you're not going to attract a lot of pests that like apple trees, because you either have two apple trees or you have none.
Right.
or peaches or pears or whatever you're growing. You're not growing very many, and you also have all those other plants mixed in, and so it's a good sustainable way to grow plants.
Okay. And you got the what's the next item, number six? Or number seven?
Number seven. So the layers of a food forest work in synergy to protect plants and grow together. So a food forest is kind of magical. Once it's established, it's just amazing how fast it grows and how healthy it looks, because you're mimicking nature. And we don't even understand exactly what's going on in the soil layer a lot of times, but you have different types of roots that are down in there. You have tap roots, and you have spreading roots, and you have fibrous roots, and they all kind of grow together, and that's what happens in a forest. You know, you have all sorts of different plants,
sure,
in the same area. And so we're trying to mimic that, and it's just something that it works. And once the food forest is established after the first 3 or 4 years, it becomes very self-sustaining, because the leaves fall from the trees and create their own mulch. The plants have all spread out, and so there's not a lot of room for weeds. And basically, all you have to do is go in and prune the fruit trees and some of the bushes every year in the spring, and then and then harvest.
Okay.
So it's really kind of neat.
It is. And, of course, it provides, what, number eight, habitat for the wildlife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we do fence the trees and shrubs when they're smaller so that the rabbits don't eat them. But the rabbits can still get in there and get a little bit of food. That's okay. Lots of birds will come, and lots of insects, and sometimes other animals too.
Right. Right. I'm sure a possum's a regular visitor,
yeah,
too.
Foxes will eat fruit, raccoons,
right,
sometimes. Yeah.
And how about number nine?
They sequester carbon. So we're not tilling the soil, so we're not releasing carbon into the atmosphere. We're planting things that have really deep roots, so they're going to grab that carbon and sink it down into the soil, and then it's going to stay there for a long time. So it's a very environmentally friendly way to grow fruit and nuts and asparagus.
And I find your last one, number 10, that they are beautiful. They've got to be, when you've got everything growing and coming together, it's got to be an awesome image.
Yeah, especially in the spring when the fruit trees are blooming, then that one short week in early May, and all the bees are buzzing around pollinating the flowers.
So with the fruit trees, what are the basic plants that you would recommend, or whether it be a vegetable or not, to be under the fruit tree? I mean, I've never heard of that before. We have things around a fruit tree. Usually it's open.
Yeah.
But for those of us that don't know,
what
would you recommend?
So we do recommend wood chips. So we have wood chips down as kind of the ground cover, and then kind of scattered around so that you want to leave space so that you can still get in and harvest and prune. We mostly have herbs, and then strawberries, Dutch white clover, violets, and then plants for pollinators. There's also a plant called comfrey that you can put in a couple of those. They're not edible, but they're a great plant for the pollinators, and they have a tap root.
Now, will the shade of the tree stunt their growth at all?
A little bit, yeah. So we plant them more on the outside of the tree so that they're a little bit farther away from the trunk. So that they'll still get a little bit of sun. And then once the tree gets a little bit bigger, some of them might die back a little bit, but that's okay.
And by doing this, have you found that the plants are they grow faster, they're stronger, they're better by planting them around a fruit tree like that?
It's more to benefit the fruit tree itself than the understory plants.
Really?
And yes, we have seen that the fruit trees are pretty healthy. I can't really explain how it works.
So they're happy having some chives or some basil growing at their feet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
Because trees don't grow in a vacuum, right? In nature, they grow with other plants. And so we're just trying to mimic that.
So for some of our gardeners out there, what are some tips that you could share with them, Emily?
Plant your taller trees to the north. Your taller plants to the north and your shorter plants to the south, because the sun goes through the southern part of the sky. Don't plant too much the first year. You know, if you're starting a food forest, you don't have to do a whole acre the first year. You can start with just 4 or 6 fruit trees and 10 shrubs or so. And make friends with an arborist so that you can get free wood chips.
Okay.
Save your cardboard. That's how we kill the grass before planting, is we put down cardboard and cover it with wood chips.
I think in this area here, McHenry County, it's kind of changing a little bit, but there's a predominance of oak trees.
Yes.
And they're very, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are kind of on their last legs now.
Yeah.
But there was a new oak tree. In fact, a new elm tree that was developed by a fella in Atlanta, that the new elm tree is resistant to Dutch elm disease.
Nice.
And he experimented with it, and he put the trees up around the ballpark where the Atlanta Braves play. And he did that because he wanted to show that they'll grow fast. Now, after they're planted for 3 years, then they grow an average of 1 foot a year.
Oh.
But they're resistant to this disease, and they're good for, he says, 100 years. Well, many of us won't see that. But
right.
It's things like that that are kind of neat that you could put in.
Yeah.
You know, that... that'll grow fast, and some trees are really fast growers. Like I know that some maple trees, some particular species of maple trees, will grow extremely fast.
Yeah.
There's one called the State Street Maple. And that tree, once it gets its feet in the ground, gets settled in, it's happy, it'll grow between 1.5 to 2 feet a year. It'll get to somewhere around 60 feet tall.
That's great.
So, now, on that one there, it'd probably be happy having some plants all around it.
Yeah.
You know, But I had never thought of, and I think a lot of our listeners never thought about putting vegetables around the base of a food tree.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, the before we sign off here, Emily, I just want to say that for those of you that need any assistance, you can go to wisconsinfoodforest.com. Emily's available to answer your questions. It's Emily Steinway. We want to thank her for being here today. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. And go to huntleycommunityradio.com, click on Contact Us. With any requests you may have, you can go to aroundtown@huntleyradio.org. And we'll see you again next time. Thank you so much, Emily, for being here, and thank you, everyone, for listening to our show today.